podcast, it's like me and Mindy would talk about stuff and then people would DM us on our page and they're like, hey, what episode did you say this? And I was like, did we even talk about that? Because you just get going on your own tangents and you're like, forget kind of what you say. It's like this weird void in time. I don't know.
Yeah, I totally agree for sure. Because we get way off topic.
It is. Yeah. Because we would just talk about stuff. We'd get on like this major like side quest about it. And then we're like, oh, crap, back to like what we were going to talk about.
Yeah.
Sometimes I can't remember. I'm like, I don't know if that was a Mean Cat meeting or if it was a podcast.
Same, dude. I say the exact thing. I know. It's like, it's just bizarre. I say that at work all the time. Like, I don't know if I told all of you guys or who I told here, but I know I said something to this and.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. I'm always
it's
worried.
It's even that, more like, fun though when it's like a real obscure thing. And Andy's like, why on earth would you not know who all you've talked to about that? I'm like, I don't know
if I said it out loud or not, or if I said it in my head.
It was definitely an inside thought. I don't remember if it played it outside with just Kat or outside with all of us. So
I love that. Well, thanks for having me on, though. I really appreciate it. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
No, thank you for being on here.
Oh,
so
no,
that we can fangirl over you.
Oh, stop it. Don't do that. That's going to make me get all embarrassed. I'm not good with stuff like that. I get all awkward.
Right.
I call myself stupid all the time.
My family grew up like, it was like very sarcastic. Like we always made fun of each other. Like just like, that was just how my whole family was and still is. And it's like, we're that family. Like if we don't make fun of you, we do not like you. You know what I mean? So, and that's just
like
how
that.
I was from operating.
I always joke like the very end of, is it Wedding Crashers? Where they're at the Catalina Wine Mixer and they go to hug and he's like, you fucking bag it.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's my family right there. We can't be normal.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny because my creative director, when she started with me about 4 years ago, her husband has worked for me on my team for Andy, for our media company for, I don't know, he's probably been there 6 years now. And he told her before, like, hey, I'm just letting you know, like, Emily's going to make fun of you. If she doesn't make fun of you, she doesn't like you, blah, blah. So she started working. I have never really, like, I interviewed her, but I don't really know her at all. And I'm trying to kind of be like, feel her out, see what she's like. And she's an only child. So I feel like that's something like you're not getting like razzed by like your siblings and stuff.
Right.
So I was trying to be mental. And she told me this like 6 or 8 months after she had been with me. She goes, yeah. She goes, I went home and I told Joe, because she'd worked for him for 2 weeks. She was like, Joe, I've been there 2 weeks. She has not like made fun of me or teased me yet. I don't think she likes me. And I was like, oh my God, no. I was trying not to like chase you off because you were so good. I didn't want to like put you away. I said, I knew you were an only child. And like, you know, you probably weren't used to like growing up and being completely made fun of in a loving way.
Yeah.
that's
awesome. How many siblings do you have?
2. I have an older sister and a younger sister. So my younger sister, Sarah, she's my CEO at Paper and Plan Company.
You're right.
And then my older sister, she lives out on my parents' farm about an hour or so west of here with her family.
Awesome.
I have 3 kids. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
I have a younger brother that is, I mean, yeah, it's one of those where you go, that's the dynamic for siblings, is you have to verbally abuse each other. It makes you a better person.
I know.
I am one of 12.
One of 12? Oh my gosh, that's how Andy's dad is. It's like crazy. Like the Italian family, like the first Easter I ever went to, there was 175 people there and they were all his family. His like dad's brother, their kids, cousins, aunts, uncles, great nephews, all this stuff. And I was just like blown away, and we were at his uncle's house and they had to go up to the second story and have someone shoot the family photo out the window in order to be able to get everybody in the picture. I was like, this is a thing. Like, why? It was wild. It's cool though. It's like, I was just like, holy God, that's the biggest family I've ever known.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So where are you guys located at?
Jonesboro, Arkansas. Yeah.
Arkansas.
Jonesboro, Arkansas. So about an hour from Memphis.
Yeah. That's cool.
Nothing cool here. So.
Yeah.
Stop. There's really not anything clear.
No, there's really not.
I've been in Memphis in years. It's been a long time since I went there.
Memphis is fine. I do like Memphis.
What was it last week for my birthday? We went over there for dinner.
Yeah.
Henry was like, we should just live here. And I was like, ah, no,
I don't know about that.
It's fun to visit.
Yeah. People like, they go to the town that are fun to visit and they're like, oh, dude, I could just live here. It's like, then everything's going to get old no matter where you're at. And I think people always like, that's one thing I think like in business, I was like, oh, when I get to this and we do this, then it's going to be different. But then you get there and you arrive there and you're like, this is just, it becomes your normalcy. And then it's like, you keep that chase and chase and chase, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
For sure. Although I feel like Amy and I never stop. We're always like, okay, what's next? What's next?
And that's why we have freaking 18,000 businesses and like run around like crazy. Cause it's just like, we like the building and the growing and all that. And it's like, okay, we've got it this way. We've got people run it. Now what can we do? And then we like build something else. And it's always crazy. It's always busy, but you like love it. And that's how we are. It's like, we don't even use the word like retire. We've already got a retirement plan of a company that I started the domain and all this legal stuff for 15 years ago. That's already like just sitting there like ready to go when we're retired. You know what I mean? It's like, we're just, I don't know. We're a special kind of crazy, I think, all of us.
I mean, I feel like it's one of those where you've got to be, I mean, if you're wired to work hard and like have that work ethic all the time, I don't see how you could ever be like, okay, I'm just going to stop. Yeah. Like, I don't get it. I think
that's what kills people, like older people. I think, you know, people that retire, it feels like if they don't have something to go to and push towards, they get sick. And that's when they get just kind of like, they almost just become like a hermit and they don't live a very long life because it's like their purpose is gone then. Cause like, how do you go from running full speed all the time and, you know, doing something with your life and serving a purpose and helping others and doing all these things. And you just, one day you're just supposed to stop. Like that's crazy to even think that's even possible.
Yeah, I don't. I think I would be bored to tears. I couldn't do it.
You're fighting nature at that point because we've been sold this bill of goods of when you retire, this is what you do. You just take up a hobby and you sit around, you sleep late, you read the paper, you go to bed early, whatever. But like that's literally insanity. That's like torture to me. Just to see like there's some days where I like that. Absolutely. I mean, I think that's just real out. You got so much stuff coming. You're like, I just wish a day I didn't have any responsibilities. I don't do anything. I just be. But I would not want that for years on end.
No.
But even on those days I struggle. Like my husband is always like, just sit down. I'm like, I can't relax. Like I can't relax at all.
I actually just had this conversation with one of my team members because we had a full, like we did our 2026 vision meeting today, which was like started from 10 to 3 and I just have lunch brought in. We literally just sit and go through like every single thing for the company, our systems, what we're doing, what we can do, but like we just tear it all down and just see what we need to do. And, you know, and we don't really talk about the things we did good. We always talk about how can we get better. And we were talking about that. And then after that meeting, one of the gals, she came to my office and we were just talking about like just how much stuff there's always is and how like I feel like females, especially, we always have so many tabs open in our brain that there was a really, really good, sorry if I'm getting on top. I didn't even let you start the podcast.
No, you're fine.
But it was about like how a woman's brain works. And what it was is it shows just a woman kind of like a POV and she's like picking up this, doing this, folding laundry, doing something with her kid, doing work stuff, all this stuff. But the whole time she's doing these tasks, her brain is saying, make sure you make that doctor's appointment, call this, do this and blah, 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 pick up the dry cleaner. It's like constantly nonstop. And I was having the talk with my employee today and it's like, we were talking about that. Like there's always a million tabs and you think you shut one down, but then one other pops up. It's like a game of whack-a-mole in your brain of like trying to get 100%. So it's like, we're always wired to like push and succeed and to do something else and stay like quote productive. But it's like, is it that, or is it we start to try to train ourselves early on of if I don't do it, it's not going to get done. Therefore I have to operate like this. So then you almost start to operate that out of necessity. And then it just becomes your personality, you know?
Yeah. I've compared it to like Tetris. Like the better you get at it, the faster and more it throws at you. I'm like, that's what it feels like to be a girl in business sometimes. I'm like, nailed it. Okay.
It does.
Because I want smooth.
Yeah. And I love being the person that people can count on for like whatever it is on my team or my team that I have with their media company or anything. I love being able to like take care of people, but at a capacity where it's like, you know, I talk about Women Business Academy. It's like, you know, you're capabilities don't equal your capacity. And it's realizing that I am capable of every single thing they are throwing at me. My capacity, however, is a different story of what can my inputs match my outputs? And there's times where your inputs are basically like someone broke a dam and it's pouring on you because your output cannot match that to even a small percent, you know? And that's where it's like, you kind of have to recalibrate and like, okay, from, so I have like, I'm having stop weeks right now. So for the next 2 weeks, I stop every single thing. I don't do anything. I don't take on anything. I don't do anything new. So during my stop weeks, I do nothing but get everything else done and like make sure everybody's taken care of and get everything in a good place. And I like to do that begin at the beginning of the year every year, because I feel like there's still stuff that as a business owner, I'm wrapping up from the end of the year from last year, trying to get reset, get everything kind of recalibrated, if you will, like business, mentally. I'm doing this because I'm at my home office, like my desk stuff, just like get everything done and then really like hit the ground running, you know, because you can only prepare for so much for the beginning of the year. It's like when it happens, it's like all this new stuff, but it's like, wait, I got to close these books out first before I can even take on anything.
Now we had to learn early on. Well, I guess I say early on, really when we brought Taylor on, because Amy and I stuck at delegating because we're like, we can do it all. But now that we have Taylor, I'm fine with delegating. So I think there's something to be said about having a powerful team behind you to trust that they can do it as well, because that was something that we had to learn in the beginning of like, okay, we can let somebody else do it. We don't always have to be the one in control.
Absolutely. And that's very hard to do. It's like, you know, whenever, like I remember the first time I got, even just when I had a VA, I got my first VA like 10 or 11 years ago. And I was like, oh my gosh, it was like 10 hours. It's like nothing. And then it's like, then I got my assistant, Brittany, about 6 years ago. She's been my EA with me for a while. And then I got her and I was like, okay, she takes care of this. And then a year and a half ago, I hired another EA to handle stuff too. It's like, just kind of keep pushing stuff off. But it's like, it feels so, you have to do that in order to get anything else done, you know? And it just like, it is very hard at first because I was like, well, are they going to do it like me? And are they going to be able to handle this? Yes, they absolutely can. It's like, you just have to give them the opportunity to. And there's always, everybody's always going to like have a little flop in the learning curve. You know what I mean? But that's expected, no?
Yeah.
But it is very hard. But yeah, it's hard at first. But after that, you're like, why did I wait so long to delegate this?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I do feel like that and then saying no to things. Like those are the two that I'm like, no one really warned you about this. Everybody's like, oh, you have to have like people skills and you have to have patience and you have to do this. And you go, no one warned me about like that delegation was going to be hard and that saying no to things is as hard as it is sometimes. So. Yeah.
I think that's where the no comes from is like, I think whenever you start out so like hungry for opportunities and growth, you don't want to say no to anything because we're always saying, you know, we always hear like, oh, opportunities are going to come. And you don't know if what you're being asked to say yes to is going to be that opportunity. So I think we early on, we start to say yes to everything thinking this could be it. This could be it. This is going to be the connection I need. This is going to be the person I need. This is going to be the whatever I need. And then you realize it wasn't. And then you're like, now I'm behind because I was saying yes to all these other opportunities that weren't really opening doors for me or really beneficial whatsoever. And it was more of a one-sided type of, you know, transaction, we'll say. And then I think you start to get like, then you go into the no and you're like, okay, wait, this is so much better. And then I feel like no becomes the first word you say instead of yes, you know?
Yeah.
Right. If it's not a hell yes for me, if I'm not like so excited, I'm like, nah, nope. Like,
right.
You have to totally agree. You know, it's like, I don't like that. I don't like the term. Well, you know me, like I'm not like a frou-frou, but it's like the whole like, you know, protect your peace type person. Like I don't like any of those things. I think so many people say them and it's just weird. But it's like you really do. Yeah. I mean, it's like everybody wants to say that, like just stop. But it's like you really do have to like protect your space and your time and your peace with that by just saying no. It's the only way you can like be like an ex-dance, you know?
The people that say those things, I'm like, you are saying these words and you don't really know what this means. Like you have not worked hard enough to need
it. They have a six hour morning routine of 18 affirmations and then they got to like, butthole and do their like stuff and then they get to work. Where's and go home?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You've been on video this whole time. When have you done any work? You don't know how to relax.
Their work is filming their morning routine.
Yeah. Jeez. So funny.
All right.
I had a question on your paper and plan thing. When did that, what inspired you to start that? And when did you start it? I started on your website.
September of 2020. I've always been like a paper and planner, like psycho. I've always loved it. So growing up, my dad was an entrepreneur and he owned trucking companies and brokerage firms. And they used to like, if you had a broken pallet, something happened in shipping, it would basically like the whole pallet was considered damaged because you could only like deliver like full pallets. So they used to haul for like Jack Daniels and Coca-Cola, all these brands. And they did Lisa Frank. And Lisa Frank, when I was a kid, I'm 43. So Lisa Frank was like the thing.
The thing, everything.
Yeah.
And they had a pallet break of this Lisa Frank stuff, which means like a box got broken or like smashed or something. So basically the whole pallet's a loss then. And his guys that worked for him and everything else, you know, they took some stuff for their kids and myself and my two sisters. He took a bunch of Lisa Frank stuff and gave it to the Easter Bunny, brought it that year for Easter because Easter was like a week later. So we got a ton of Lisa Frank stuff and I loved it. And I like really, I was probably, I think maybe 7 or 8. And that really like sparked everything for me, like how much I love it, like organizing, planning. And I remember in third grade, I found a picture of the other day, but I went into our pantry and I made like a legend and a key of where everything was at in our pantry. And I labeled all the shelves and I made sure like everything was in order all the time in our pantry. And I'm like, here I am in third grade, just dork, like organizing the pantry. But I loved it. And like, I mean, all through high school, like I always kept a paper planner and stuff. It got me out of like a couple times because they'd think I was like not in class. But I was like, oh no, I was at this room and doing this or blah, blah, blah. And I just loved it. And then I came up with my cookbooks in 2015 and 2019. And then I just loved the planners. And I decided, like, you know what? I'm going to make one of these under my cookbook umbrella, Fit Home Health, under that. I'm like, I'm going to make a planner and see if people even like it. I know people use paper planners because, you know, everybody's doing tech stuff. And I made one and it sold like crazy. And I was like, okay, because I was killing my test market because I wasn't opening a new company. Yeah. I wasn't doing anything else. I was just like, here's a new product to add. Let's see if it goes. And it did. And then I did it one more time for like the school year planners and it did great there as well. So I was like, okay, well, this is going to be a company now. And so I wanted my sister to come work for me for years. She worked in the family law community for 16 years and I was trying to pull her away from the firm she was at. And I was like, please come work for me. And she was like, okay, but I need this. I'm like, I can't pay you that yet. And so I just waited. So it was about 4 years of, I think, of like me trying to get her to come. And then, so she finally started working for me in September of 2020. And it's been great since. So that's just awesome. Keep going. Yeah, that's we have a team of 8 girls that are phenomenal. And we have an office here in Fenton, which is just outside of St. Louis. And just a great team, ladies. I just absolutely love it. And it's fun. We all like are really passionate about what we do.
That's awesome. I am such a paper planner girl. So I love all of your designs and stuff. And I was getting on there just because I was curious. And I was like, God, they're all sold out already.
I was like, goodness gracious. So we did a little restock in November, but then they sold out. And I think it's I think what attributes to that is I read some studies that 2026 is supposed to be the year of analog. People are going back to old ways because usually I purchase the planners and get them, you know, get them all printed and ready to go to last us till about mid-February sales wise, because a lot of people will start and they're like, hey, I want to get things going. But this year we sold out. Like, I think we were almost completely sold out by the second week of December, I think it was. And then there's and we just recently, like, we would get like, we'd have like one or two left and the, you know, we had sold those off. But I think it's because, you know, it is, people are saying it's like the year of the analog. They say technology is just everywhere and people kind of just want to break from that because it's, you guys know how easy it is. Like you go to look at something on your phone and you're like, oh, let me check Instagram or let me go here, email. So it's like that dedicated time. So yeah, I'm just like a paper junkie. Like I use it. Okay. I'm the person like, I don't, and I used to tease like, oh, maybe it's just because I'm like that generation, but I like to like print things out, have physical copies of it. I don't trust it being in the cloud or anything else. Like I want to know that like, if I need to access it very quickly and there's no internet service, I have it. And it's great. It's like, it saved my ass like several times by having paper printouts. People are like, I can't find it. I'm like, ah, here it is. Here's the date. Here's the
Well, so basically we're getting things out. Thank you, Lisa Frank.
Thank you, Lisa Frank.
She was such a big deal. You don't understand the neon colors, the dolphins.
Okay, she's back now though, because in our gift shop, so Kitsch, you know, like Kitsch brand that sells like a hair. So they did a collab with Lisa Frank and we sell Kitsch in our gift shop on Paper and Plan Company because we just about a year and a half ago, we started a gift shop just for like fun little add-on things. And like, it's fun actually. It's almost selfishly like I tease because I feel like we shop for us, the girls in the office, because it's like, oh, birthday party, go back there and like, you know, buy stuff we need for this. And I need to do a restock though because we sold a gift shop's looking a little sad right now after Christmas. So Lisa Frank did a collab with Kitsch and we bought some of their stuff and it all sold out. Except I think we have like some creaseless clips left. But yeah, people love like the scrunchies and the clips and everything with like a dolphin and like the cat on it and the little puppy dog Dalmatian. All that stuff. It's like wild, she's back. I'm like, this is like everything from my childhood, I feel like, is coming back.
I love it.
Would you ever do a collab with Lisa Frank? Like, what a full circle moment.
I know. That would be crazy. Yeah, that would be awesome. I'll do one with Lisa Frank or Diet Coke.
Oh, yes.
This is iced tea. It's not Diet Coke. I already have my Diet Coke. I only have one Diet Coke a day. I limit myself.
One fridge cig a day, guys. We're down to one pack.
I got my little fridge cigarette.
I love it. Henry, my 8-year-old, prefers Diet Coke to anything else. I'm like, I don't drink it. So I'm like, who taught you this?
I never drank soda ever. And then like 3 years ago, I just was like, need a little pick me up because I drank water. That's all I would drink is water. I grew up on sweet tea and stuff, but now I just have like a little bit of unsweet tea sometime. I need a little pep because I don't drink coffee. We don't drink coffee or anything like that. And I was like, maybe I'll just try Diet Coke because I was like, you know, fitness world. I'm like, I don't want to drink regular Coke because I got a diet and I got it from McDonald's the first time. I was like, ooh. Cause it like gave me the hot spits, you know, where you're like, yeah. Like pucker, you know? And I was like, oh shit, this is hard stuff. And so then I was like, but I like it. And then I just started it since.
Yeah.
A love was born.
Yeah. The kids always want to get the ones from McDonald's and then they walk around going, why is it spicy? And I'm like, what's wrong with you?
I love that meme. I love that meme when the parents are like, you tell your kid you can't have cheesecake because it's spicy, you know, or whatever. And they like tell these lines. They're like, why is it spicy?
Yeah. Oh, it's the best.
That's good. So how did you guys start your podcast?
Just to test it, honestly.
Yeah. On a quest of let's see if we can break it. We can't mess it up. So let's just give it a shot because we had a couple of clients that wanted to do it. And we're really weird about it. If we can't do it ourselves, then we don't want to outsource it yet because,
you know. You have no control. You don't know what
they're going to ask for. So that's what we did. We're like, we'll make it. Worst case scenario, people hate it, but we think we're funny. So we'll listen to it.
Instead of a podcast, it becomes like an audio scrapbook for you to look back on later on.
Yeah, exactly. It's like it's just a diary now. It's great. We love it.
You're right about that, though, as far as like, and you don't know how to do it, because I think that's super important because there's stuff that I don't know how to do in my business, but I try to be, and I, you know, I have people that do it for me now, but it's like, I try to learn as much as I can to my capacity. So I know the lingo, I know what to expect. I know what like the metrics should be and things like that, because I feel like that's something that there's so much talk about. Like we talked about delegation in the positive way, but there's also talk about, you know, to delegate out anything you need and you need to grow your business, delegate it out. But if you have no idea what is expected or what's the norm, you can get hoodwinked and a lot of money taken from you if you're not understanding, at least at a base level, what is to be expected or how the operation works. Because people, if they know that, they could just sell you a bill of goods that they can't deliver on and you'll never know the difference, you know?
Yeah.
It is important. 100%. Like I want to just figure out if we can do it. Can we make it? Because you know what? Even if you decided not to continue doing it, at least you knew how it was operating. Mm-hmm. So you had somebody that you were outsourcing it to. You'd be like, what about if we tie that up to Libsyn or we do it this? And then we, you know, we monetize it on, you know, like Spotify. We do, you know what I mean? Whatever you do, you know, just having that knowledge.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, really, that's why we started Wolf was just because, you know, in other former lives, we were both marketing directors that dealt with other agencies. And it was one of those where we were knowledgeable enough to know what to ask for. But when they're talking to the CEOs of different companies or other points of contact, you go, I feel like you're just saying a bunch of words and you're not actually telling them anything. Like they're asking you questions and you're not giving them answers. And I went into a, you know, I was working with a business, got the intro of here's the agency we've been working with. Cool. Can I get this, 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 and this so that I can start my job? And they're going, no, we can't. And you go, no, you can't. Yes, you can. It's analytics. It's access points. Like, I know you can do this. No, we're not able to do that because we're the marketing agency. And so just those bad practices where you go, you're just kind of taking advantage of people and for large amounts of money. And so we just kind of got together and we're like, we can do this so much better and more honest than what we've seen. So it's one of those of, that's the core of our operating is that it's all about transparency of we're never going to sell you something that we can't explain to a child. We're not going to offer something up and promise unrealistic, you know, results. Anything that we do for our clients is something that we've done either previously with the other clients and we have or have not seen success, or we've tried it ourselves because, you know, a lot of stuff we're like, I don't think it's going to work for you. Let us try it on us first. And if it's failure, then no one's hurt.
It's you're able to deliver something that is, you know, the way you guys are doing business. It's like, you know, you can, you're not presenting things off of theory or ideas.
Right.
It's actually like bread and true practices. And what you're saying is that they couldn't explain things to people like new clients and things. It's like, then that is a huge red flag because you're reading from a textbook or something you read on Instagram or some sort of like quippy little one-liner that you think makes you sound smart when you can't deliver an answer. And it's also, I feel like when people do that, it's insulting to the person's intelligence to which you're, who you're speaking with, is because you're trying to like get one over on them. And like, they should be able to see that as like, okay, you can't answer. If I said, hey, what's 2 + 2? And you go, oh, you know, I just love that. I always had a passion for this and blah. Tell me the answer.
Right.
Tell me it's 4, then you're not the right person. If you try to give me some like polished, beautiful, what you think I want to hear thing that's going to make you sound like some intellect, you're in the wrong place. That's not how I operate, you know? And I think that there's just so much that online right now, and it's disgusting.
Yeah.
It is.
It's just even the clients that we have now, like I've run into things where I'm like, I truly don't know the answer to what you're asking me for. Let me go back and find it. I'm like, I would rather somebody tell me that and just be upfront about, I don't know. Let me go find it. Then to feed me bullshit. I'm like, you're wasting everyone's time.
Respect for you, because they know that you're not going to bullshit them. So it's not training, but it is. It's sharing with them like, oh, wait, you know, she doesn't know she's going to find out for me. And they know that you'd be like an honest individual then. And I think that's, you know, too many people are afraid to say, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to feel
stupid. I agree with that.
Stupid. Nobody can know every single thing.
Right. And I'm like, what happened to the whole don't be the smartest person in the room? Like,
people
are like, no, I have to know everything. I'm like, this is not Instagram. Okay. No. It's okay to not know it all.
What would business look like truly if Instagram was not around? If businesses weren't allowed, if you were not allowed to promote, sell, or anything on Instagram, I wonder what it would like, how would the world, what would the economy like and, you know, commerce look like?
We'd see a much different landscape of businesses because there are so many people now too, which this is a pet peeve of mine, that I feel like they don't do a good job promoting their businesses at all and their marketing groups. Like, this is a pet peeve with marketing groups, that here we're going to promote the individuals. Like, it'd be like me and Kat talking about how great we are for doing these things. You go, it's not about us. It's about the businesses we're representing. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Instagram has given this platform of, just get your face on stories. Talk about yourself. You can sell anything. You go, that's not really how it works.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, it's important to have like your own values and your own voice and stuff like that. But you go, the work is the work.
Yeah.
And a business should be able to, like, I feel like the businesses that we work with, I am insane about. I want them to survive even if we step away. I want us to be able to go in and we've delivered a strategy that's completely seamless and bulletproof. And we've been so transparent with their leadership on, here's exactly how we're doing things. Let us answer these questions. But if Kat and I get hit by a bus tomorrow, they'd be like, shit, it was a lot of work. We don't really know how to do it, but they told us a lot. So we're going to survive for a little bit.
Yeah, I know. No, it's like, yeah, it makes total sense to think about that as well. It's like, there's so much fluff online of like,
this is
me, or, you know, comment this, you know, and I'll send you this tip, blah, blah, blah. And it's never actually like coming from a place of actually providing value just to provide that, to where people are gonna be like, you know what? They've given me so much free value. I want to make sure I support them. If I need a marketing agency, they've done this. I want to go to them. It's always like this, like they may not look like they have their hand out fully, but it's always like,
100%.
You know, it's like, you know, there's a, you know, the, and I think a lot of people confuse branding with marketing as well on that, that they are different things. But I always, you know, reference like, you know, Gary Vaynerchuk's book, Jab, 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 Right Hook. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you have to give, then you ask. And too many people are just ready for just like ask. Like, you haven't built that relationship with someone. I always compare it to the most like elementary thing is like, if you're going on a date, you don't just walk up to somebody, you want to get married. No, you have to like meet them on it, show them who you are, blah, blah, blah. And then you can ask them, because you've given them pieces of yourself to see what you're like and experience that. Then you can feel comfortable, and they can too, if you ask for something from them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gosh, how many times have we compared marketing and stuff to dating?
Well, you think about it, dating is marketing.
Yeah. Like, some of you are getting real confused out here. Some of y'all are trying to hop in bed with people on the first date. Calm down. So, yes, I think, because there is such a huge distinction between branding and marketing, but then even personal branding versus business branding.
But yeah, you're right. Yeah, the personal branding. I also think, you know, is with the personal brand, it's being able to not be a founder dependent brand. I think so many people want their name on everything and to be the quote star, but they don't think about it long term, the marketing play, or, you know, having it like, you know what, if I want to take on a partner down the road, or if I want to exit this company down the road or sell the company, whatever it might be, you're tied to it. And therefore you're devaluing your business in the future for feeding your ego today.
Yes.
And I think a lot of people are falling victim to that with social media.
Yeah.
So for the first year of Wolf, we didn't tell anybody that it was me and Amy.
And we loved it because people would be next to us like, social, who the fuck is that? And I was like, I don't know, but that here.
We have no idea.
It's weird as shit, man. If you figure out who it is, I hope you tell them.
Yeah. But that logo's cute.
That's why, like, Paper and Plant Company, like, I never really, like, promoted. I promoted on my personal page because people knew that it was my company on my, like, personal Instagram. But on the Paper and Plant Co. page, I don't have it on there or anything else. It's not like, you know, anything. You can't tell on there. Now, on our TikTok, yes, because I have to make, like, these, like, one-off. And you kind of have to be, like, a face of it. Mm-hmm. But I never have branded it, like, I never get on there like, oh, hi, I'm Emily. I'm the owner of this, this, this. Because I don't want that. Because, you know, I want it to be seen as like, this is a business. It's not just like you're buying from this individual person. I've always tried to keep that like separate with that. And people that know me know that I own it. But other than that, like people don't really, they have no idea.
Yeah. I was going to say, I mean, there are people that will come to us and they're like, oh, I've seen your personal stuff. And you go, oh, no. Please. Yeah. Where? Yeah. Because I'm different people in different places. Gosh.
Don't believe it. Don't believe it.
Yeah. Like, please never look at TikTok.
No, it's so true. It's so true. Because it's like, you know, you have, because there is a difference whenever you're promoting your business, your actual business that is providing food for people and lives for everyone else. If I get on my personal page and I want to like, just like rant or be, you know, who I, you know, be myself, which is scary. But if I sort of like, you know, do that stuff. Thing is, I don't want people to take anything out of context or anything like that, which I don't do that anyway. But if they do that, now it is hurting, possibly hurting my team. And I'm not going to try to take someone else's mouth. So it's like, it's a lot of responsibility and I think weight to carry as a business owner, because it's not just, oh, I want to make sure that, you know, the rent is paid and the bills are paid. It's like, I want to make sure that my team is surviving. They're not just like getting, you know, you're not paying a minimum wage. You're paying them a good living wage. They can have some freedom. You know, like one thing that I'm proud of we do at Paper and Plant Company is we're open 9 to 3. So my girls can drop their kids off at school. It's all women. They can drop their kids off at school, come to work. They can leave at 3, go pick the kids up for school pickup. And that's it. They don't have to worry about after childcare expenses or anything else. Or, you know, it's just, and they get everything done. It's a 6-hour workday. And they usually take about 30-minute lunch. I don't know. They don't like clock out or anything for that. But like they just eat lunch and they get back to work. And we get as much done in a 6-hour day as we would in an 8 or 9-hour day.
Our entire team is remote and most of us have small children. And so that was one of the things that, I mean, Amy and I wanted to work from home because we have kids and we want to be able to take them to school and pick them up and go to whatever school activity they have. And so we were like, this is what we're going to do. You know, everyone can work remote if they want. And because I feel like the people that we have on our team, they operate like us. And I am way more efficient at this desk here than I would be in an office somewhere because I get into my zone and it's my zone. So we just like to empower other moms to just do what they want to do and, you know, get their work done and trust that they're going to take care of the clients and they can still also be present for their kids.
Yeah, because it's true. Like the getting more done in 6, like, both of us. I mean, it's one of those where you go, we know that at 2:30 or you go pick kids up. So we have this amount of time to get it done. So
no, that's exactly what it is. And I think like what you're saying, Kat, about like, you know, being at your desk, getting more done. It is true. Cause you know, it's, you don't have any interruptions, you know, you're not like you're not fielding questions, you're not doing anything else. Everything else is a text or an email and you can handle at the time. You can address those when you want to. But it's like, if you are in an office, it's like, you know, you get interrupted or you get sidetracked and stuff. Like my work day, I work from home until usually about 10:45 in the morning. Then I go to my office because in the mornings I get up, I handle all the stuff I have to do here at the house. I work on stuff for our media company. I work on stuff for my stuff. And I get like anything that like really requires like focused work. I do that here in my office at home. Mm-hmm. And then I go up to my office is only about a 4-minute drive from here. So I just go over to my office and I go in, I check on the girls in the warehouse, help with order packing, whatever needs to get done. We do our meet, you know what I mean? Just like do the regular office stuff. They leave at 3 and then I'll usually stay for a couple hours after and, you know, do anything that I need to do there and then head home. And it's just like, it just works. It worked. Have, like, isolated time.
Yeah.
I love it. Then you don't feel like you're, like, bombarded constantly with stuff.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's definitely days where, like, you know, we're back to back in meetings all day. And so it's like, I haven't gotten anything done. But I also like knowing that if I didn't get anything done during the day, after the kids go to sleep or they're going up and playing video games or whatever they do, that I could sit here and it's still all of my things in my little zone. And I can work until 2 a.m. if I want to, which I do sometimes.
All our warehouse before, it was our second, no, our, it was our last warehouse, I think, the for Andy's brand. And the office area was smaller. And he would go in there and he was, you know, people would stop you and he's trying to get to his office, which was like in the back. So it was probably a couple week period. And he had like a lanyard and it had a like red card on one side and a green on the other. And if it was flipped red, that means don't stop and talk to him. And it was green, you just stop and talk. Cause he'd be like on a phone call, but he always has headphones in a lot because he just takes so many calls during the day or whatever. If people didn't know if he was actually talking or not. So he'd have a red card and a green card. And it was just like, but it lasted for just a couple weeks because it was just like funny because it's like trying to just get stuff done.
That's fantastic. I love that. How is it with, because I mean, both of you, you and Andy both, I feel like are the first super workers. Like you're both people that I would listen to everything you ever say about business or life in general. So how is it, like what's y'all's day-to-day routine as far as like when y'all come home, are you both like, we're done. Don't speak to me for a minute while I do.
No, we actually like we wake up at the same time. We go to bed usually at the same time together. And we talk a lot during the day because like I do work with him and for him in the company. So, you know, we talk a lot during the day, but then whenever he gets home, I mean, it's just like he'll come home and he'll stay in his garage, you know, and he'll like finish a phone call or something. He'll come up, we'll visit for a little bit. Then we take the dogs and then we go down there. We all hang out together for an hour or so. And then we all walk back to the house because the dogs will not. The dogs are like very like family. They want to make sure both of us are going everywhere. And so if I come to the house with the dogs, they won't come because they're waiting for him to come up too. Because our garage is probably about 100 yards from the house. And so they won't walk. So then we all walk up to the house. And then so he kind of like drops the dogs off with me. And then I cook dinner and he'll go down and finish calls and stuff. And then I'll text him, dinner is ready in 15 minutes. He'll come up, we'll have dinner, hang out, you know, just have a regular like, you know, relationship, you know, regular like maybe movies or like watch a movie or talk or whatever and just kind of hang out. So it's like we don't really have that like just stop talking, you know, like we don't, you know,
no,
like,
that's
just,
good.
I think what is beneficial is that his dad was an entrepreneur and so was mine. So we've only known what entrepreneurship life is like. So we know that it's not like at 5 o'clock I'm done working. It's like there's stuff you got to do. Like I'll be laying in bed. I'm like, oh shoot, I didn't do that. And I'm up and it's 2:30 in the morning. I'm sending a file or doing whatever it is. So I think that's what's really good. Like we both understand that thoroughly of what that entails because, you know, my dad, when he has trucking companies, it was back before like the internet and stuff. And you'd have to write comm checks, which are almost like a wire back then. It was like, you'd write it was like a 3-ply carbon copy check. If there was a truck driver that had a blown out tire and he's in New York and needed money wired to the truck stop to fix the tire, my dad would get calls at 3 a.m. to write these comm checks to send it to the truck stop to get the tire. You know what I mean? So like, I saw that a lot of like not really set hours and, you know, what it took to have that lifestyle. And I just loved it. And so we just have like a good, like understanding and working relationship of everything. So, and we're pretty good at like separating and that, you know, business from our regular life too.
Yeah. That's awesome. I feel like, okay, two things. One, I think y'all need to do that TikTok where it's like you put the dogs in the middle and then you run opposite directions.
Like, I would get my feelings for them.
What are they doing? I feel like my dogs would be like, I guess we're all going to run. I don't know what direction.
Otis would probably just sit in the middle and like give us a little finger, middle finger of his paw or something. Like, I ain't going anywhere.
Rocky would just come inside. Rocky would be like, finally, they're all gone. But then too, I think it's awesome that like y'all both grew up seeing that because I think that makes a huge difference because even going through business ownership now, you go, okay, hang on. I'm having to learn different things because like my dad owned a printing business, but I'm like, it was nothing like what I'm doing now because he very much was the, okay, it's 5 o'clock. It's done. Like it was like cartoons almost.
People couldn't like read you back then either. You know what I mean? It's like,
And so it was, it was very much the, okay, let's get our lunch pail and just drive home. And that's that. Yeah. I'll see it again at 8 o'clock in the morning. And so even whenever I'm working, like sometimes
if they're over or if I'm visiting them, I'll be like, oh, I've got to go. I'm going to fix this thing. I got a call. I'm like, what on earth? It is after hours. I'm like, after hours? What is that?
What is that?
Never heard of this.
Provides a no after hours.
Yeah. Right?
No hours. That's what I was asking my dad years and years ago. And I'll never forget his answer. And it really hasn't changed since then, I think. But I said, like, what is the biggest innovation you saw in business that you had? And he just like, he goes, the fax machine. And he had business when there was like email and text, like, you know, he sold his last business maybe like 10 or 12 years ago, something like that. He said, the fax machine. And I go, why is that? He's like, because we just didn't have to wait for the mail. And I was thinking, that really is the biggest innovation because email is kind of like fax. A text is kind of like that. You know what I mean? So it's like, it really is kind of like the fax machine.
Oh, wow.
It is anymore. But it's, you know, and, you know, he had like the car phone, you know, like you'd have it like mounted and like the big bag phone. Like, I just remember it. Like, it did, I think, help shape that. And it's crazy because I saw the hours he'd put in and everything else. But for some reason, I was always so drawn to that. And it was just strange. Like, you're seeing your dad get up at the crack of dawn because we lived on a farm, take care of the cows and everything else, then drive. His office was an hour and 20 minutes one way every single day. It's crazy. He would drive an hour and 20 minutes no matter what for freaking 40 years, do business, come home. My mom would have dinner on the table. She was a stay-at-home mom. We'd all have, you know, dinner at the table, say our prayers, everything. And he'd go to the farm, check the cows, feed them, make sure there's no ice on, you know, their water troughs in the winter and stuff, and come home, go to bed, and get up and do it again. Like clockwork.
Right.
He's like the hardest worker. But what's really good about that, and I think it's important for other entrepreneurs, households, that is like, if you're not the entrepreneur, let's say like my mom, she was not. She was there supporting my dad. She's a stay-at-home mom. But one thing is that she always did, and I think that's why I love entrepreneurship so much, is that she never, ever said, because my dad wasn't able to come to like our volleyball games and sporting events all the time because, again, his office was an hour and 20 minutes away. He was still working when our games would start at 6 o'clock, you know what I mean? Or he was just in the office. And she would always say like, well, your dad is not going to be here because he's working, so you girls can have X, or so you can do Y, whatever it was. She always tied how his hard work was benefiting our household, or like, this is why we have this, you know, nice. I grew up like upper middle class. We weren't like crazy wealthy or anything like that. But it's like, she's like, this is why, you know, we have this house, or that's why we can have the farm, because your dad is doing this. And I think now what's so bad is there's like this toxic type of emotion behind that, of where the spouse that's not the entrepreneur, husband or wife, they're like, oh, well, your dad's working. Oh, your dad can't make it because, you know, he's got to be at work. Or they say it in a very negative light, making it seem like almost the spouse is choosing work over the family and not tying it of, hey, they're working to provide for the life that you are a part of. And I think that's, you know, a very, very important thing that I think is overlooked in, you know, society as a whole. So definitely social media, because social media is toxic in the way that people are trying to see like how, I don't know what the right word is, but how like almost off-putting or negative they can be to get like that reaction, almost like a rage bait type of thing, instead of saying, like, I could never even imagine getting on social media and degrading and dogging on your spouse who's working to provide a life for you, cleaning, because they're not home at exactly 5:30 to make sure you can do this or X, Y, or Z.
It just
grosses me out.
And it's so it's one of those where you go, do you think that anybody's wanting to choose a phone call or an email over their family anyway? Like, of course not. Like, no one's doing this.
It's just a illusion.
I do like the idea though of, I mean, just in general, with whether it's, you know, supporting your spouse or just in general, like being able to tie, my lifestyle is because I've worked my ass off. I didn't luck into this. This isn't shit that fell on my lap. Like, I've busted my ass for what I have.
And people don't see that, you know, that it's like the 10, it took me 10 years to be an overnight success type thing. People don't realize what goes on up here every single moment of the day. That you, when you have a business, there's always something. You're always waiting for a shoe to drop, or you're waiting for like, you got to be, do something else, or you're behind on something else, or whatever it is. And it's just like, they just think that like, oh my God, that's awesome. You get to work your own hours. If you did not know anything that I did, and you had like a cameraman follow me around, you'd be like, oh wow, she can take her dogs to the groomer. And then she goes to work for 3 or 4 hours. And she goes home and she gets the, you know, picks the dogs up, and then she will go back to work and she'll do this. And then she's on her phone posting on social media for a bit. You know, like, you would like, oh, wow, you know, but they don't realize like, no, everything I'm doing, I'm like texting people 8,000 times a day. I'm doing it. Like, they don't see all of that.
No,
they just see what Instagram looks like.
Yeah. Oh, the number of times that we have people, they're like, oh, your little internet business, it's not doing bad. Or you just work from home, right? I'm like, yes. I sit in my pajama pants 24 hours a day working on my little internet business. Yes. I'm like, for every like one park that the world sees, there's 900 fires that we've had to put out before noon.
Yeah. Yep.
Where we're like, is this it? Is this how it ends?
Well, with what you got, your line of work is because of me. It's me making sure my girls are good and the business is good. Customers are happy. But with you guys, you're also responsible for everybody else's business's success as well. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's not just maintaining your business, which your business is your people, your clients, because if you don't do a good job, your clients go away. But if you're also not doing a good job, your clients will go away because they think you're not doing your job when really you're like, so that they can make it to feed their employees as well.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's definitely something that no one understands about marketing.
Why are we entrepreneurs again?
Yeah, exactly. We're gluttons for punishment. No.
Yeah.
Yes, it's true because, and I think about that every day. Which probably makes me a crazy person too, of like, okay, I've got all the tasks. I've got these things I have to do. I have these graphics. I'm like, I can't do the graphics because now I'm thinking about like, hang on, I've got to think 3 months in advance because this client of ours has a new baby that she wants to take on vacation. So she's not going to be here that period. So let's work in, you know, just all these weird things where you go, they're not just clients. You go, we're working with them. Yes, they're clients, but you go, we're providing for their families too, because I want them to be able to have the time off that they need and the space to worry about their own shit and things that we're supposed to be taking off their plate. And you go, this is a lot.
Yeah.
No, totally. I wish it was a little internet job.
Yeah. No doubt. You wish your job was close to your morning routine and that's about it. Like,
yeah, exactly. Get ready with me. Yeah. You would be so disappointed. They'd be like, this is what you do?
Oh, yeah. They'd be like, they would like probably like unsubscribe and block my channel if I did that. They'd be like, okay, we get it. Like, this is boring.
I'm like, you have no idea how to do makeup, do you? Like, no, I've tried this 72 times.
It's like a 7-minute routine. I'm like, I don't wear foundation. I put this freaking lotion on stuff. I don't do foundation. I'm just like, blend this shit in. I think it's good. No streaks. I'm good.
Yeah, exactly. We use that Zoom filter. Ta-da. Yeah.
I need that. I just got my ring light on.
Yeah. I've given up on that sort of stuff.
What are your plans for the new year? Anything with your business?
We have, go ahead. Yours is probably way better than mine.
Go.
Mine's going to be super selfish. Our selfish plan for our business is, like you said earlier, you know, you always, like, you hit the level and you're like, okay, we can do better. And so now this is our norm. We're so close to this one monetary thing. I'm like, we can do it. When we do it, I'm like, we're going to get some obscene tattoo. It's going to happen. Like,
we're going to get Mr. Krabs from SpongeBob on our money.
Take that little internet business.
Yeah. I have crabs above it, though.
Yes.
So, yeah, no, that's our goal. And I really believe that we'll get there.
Yeah. You got to say a date when you're going to hit it. You have a win.
This year. By December of this year.
Got it. It's exciting.
Yeah. I think we do it way sooner than that. I'm saying March.
Oh, I do too. Yeah. I think
that's what I was saying. I always say something. I always put like, okay, by this date, I'm going to do it. Cause I feel like that mentally I push so much harder. Yeah. I know my logical brain says not a freaking chance, but my like hopeful brain and like tricking myself in psychology, I'm like, it's going to happen. So therefore, like, I will push so freaking hard to prove my logical brain wrong.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I'm like in constant competition with myself.
Like, yes. Yes.
Weirdo, we can do it. Yes. That's where we're at of like, okay. Now it's just, I feel like it's processes at this point. I'm like, we know who we are. Like, business-wise, I'm like, we are who we are. Like, we have the skills we have. We're always going to continue like evolving and learning as far as like the type of people we are. Like, you get what you get. I'm for you. We're not adjusting.
It's like, we can do it.
I think you're right. I think by March, honestly.
Yeah. So I'm like, it's a process and system thing at this point of like, just got to align things out.
It's always refinement and stuff. And that's what I told my girls that because I had like my meeting plan. I was actually going through right before I got on the call of just like all the little things we talked about in our meeting today. And that's kind of stuff. I told them, I go, look, guys, I go, we're doing good. Like, everything is great. Everything's, you know, going well. I said, but I just feel like there's always room to kind of tweak and tighten and, you know, up the standards a little bit, you know? So it's like,
yeah,
because I don't seem to think like, because it was like, hey, let's do this, this, this. And it's all changes or like little tweaks. And it's not to say like, we're doing it wrong. We're not doing it wrong, but we can always do it better, you know, because yeah. It's like, I always say like, okay, it's done, but now how can we have done it better? And then you go for that. Mm-hmm. So you're constantly like in this evolution, your business, and you're keeping things fresh though too. And it's things not even just like, you know, marketing stuff, but also what are our processes within in-house? You know what I mean? Like as simple as how do we have the shipping boxes aligned and inventoried and displayed? So it's the easiest, most convenient way where it's the least steps from you from the packing stations to those, you know, just like things like that nobody even cares about. If you get a plane in the mail, you're going to be like, oh, I bet it took 15 steps to get this box. You don't care. But for us, it's a refinement in systems to be more like efficient with anything that we do. So it's like, it's just all of that. And I love that. Like I feed off of that because it gets me excited. Like every year to like have these meetings and like implement this stuff to like keep pushing the envelope. It's just like, how far can we go? You know?
Yeah. So far we've done that pretty much every year, and every quarter we kind of revisit it to be like, okay, what did we not love? What can we change and make it better? Because I think you're right. Like the process is just as important as everything else. And it can always be improved. So we're all constantly, we have this huge doc that we just continually add stuff to that we're like, oh wait, here's our idea.
We call it our ADHD doc.
People just get too stagnant. They're like, oh, it's working. But the thing is at the pace of business, someone asked me the other day, like, you know, what's your 5-year goal? Or like, and I don't really set 5-year goals because business, that was something to do maybe 20 years ago, 15 years ago. Business is changing and evolving so quickly that it's almost becomes like, what's your 1-year or 2-year goal now?
Yeah. Really,
I know where I want to be personally in 5 years, but business plan wise, I don't plan that far out like that. I know the big vision that I want. And then you have to figure out what you can do with what the technology is and how it's always changing. You know, imagine like AI has been huge, you know, the last like, especially the last year, I feel like 18 months. What if your 5-year plan was to like, I don't even know what, let's just say like to build a system like that. And you plan out everything meticulously for 5 years. Somebody's already came out with it. And now you're only a year into this, like it derails everything, you know? So it's just inputs and outputs, taking, you know, the inputs of all the information, what's available. Okay, now how can I use this or craft it or tweak it or twist it to have a great output for my business? And then you just keep kind of building on that because businesses can grow and flourish so much faster now because of what's available now.
Oh, yeah. It's
for sure. Different ballgame, you know?
Yeah. Totally. And I feel like that is a part though, like the 5-year planning and stuff. We're so, like, you can tell the business owners that they die by planning. It's just you go, y'all spent your whole time planning. You never did anything. You just died in the water. So you go, yes, having a plan is important. And I mean, we do the same thing, like 6 month, 1 year, but not really anything beyond that. Because again, I'm like, I don't want to get so caught up in the details of, okay, let's think about year three. No, let's just get through six months and let's get to a year.
You might learn the biggest lesson of your life at the 6 month time frame.
Yeah.
It's
going to
be the trajectory of everything.
Yeah.
And it's like, what you're saying, Andy always calls, he has the perfect name for him. He calls them six zombies. People that just import information, but they never implement it. And it's like, you know, in the age of information and stuff, like knowledge is a choice because you can go out and find any answer you need to anything else, but people choose not to actually apply it. And that's where he is. And that's where I think the whole, like, you're so lucky or whatever, this like overnight success thing, it's because you took the information and you did something with it.
Yeah.
They read the information. That was it.
Yeah.
Yep. 100%.
Yeah.
There's doers, don'ters.
Yeah. Exactly. I think that's what AI has shown us a lot too, is the doers and the delegators of, you know, people that are scared of AI. You go, you're scared of it because you're over here, right, you know, planning instead of doing things. Now there's a tool that they can do what we're waiting on you to finish. So,
right. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Get up there. Okay, so do you have any other? I feel like you had a really good list of questions, and I can't find your list of questions. I'm a loser.
I don't have my list of questions pulled up.
All
I know is that, okay, once upon a time, Amy and I came up to St. Louis, and we went to the First Firm headquarters. Okay.
I will say, we met.
Yeah, this was last year. and so.
Once upon a time, it feels so long ago.
Then
we walked in immediately, like, as we were in the car looking at each other, I was like, we're going to be the most unfit people in this entire building.
And so we walked in and we're like, we absolutely are. And so then that inspired us. No, but it was good though, because that inspired us to get a personal trainer. Now I've been working out with him for a year. So now we're fit as fuck.
That's awesome.
We've ran two marathons or two half marathons. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. We've done all kinds of stuff.
But good for you guys.
I know, right? One of these days, we're going to come back up there and I'm going to actually make the goal in the basketball court because I totally missed it last time.
It was a terrible moment. She's like, we're here. I'm at this gym. I'm going to shoot a free throw. I was like, have you ever thrown a basketball? Yes. Not ever. I was like, that was the whole.
Dude, that's a humbling thing. Like, I had not played basketball since junior high, I think. And we built that when we first, we moved in 2020. So it was during COVID. And we had a home gym, but then I would work out there all the time. And I liked it because it's just like, you know, it was a bigger gym, whatever. And it had equipment because I think all of our stuff like wasn't in it or something. I can't remember. But part of my thing after the end of every workout, I would go and play basketball and I would shoot. I would not get to end my workout until I made 20 shots in a row, 20 goals, 20 in a row, not 20 in a row, just 20 in general. And I was like, oh, I got this again. Haven't really played. Like I messed around with it, but not serious. Like shoot one at my niece's house and then leave. I was like, oh, I'm really bad. I haven't done this
real bad.
And then I was like, I don't want to do this when anybody else is in here because I'm so bad. And it was so cool. I had to shoot at the one that had like the wall behind it because if I totally airballed it, I didn't want it to go out into the gym on the up from the other goal. But it was good. It was actually a really good way to get cardio in and stuff. So I actually did enjoy it, but it was very humbling to say the least.
Yeah. I'm awful at basketball and it's fine. I know this now.
But you did it.
I have the confidence, Amy, okay?
I was going to say, I didn't. I was petting a dog. Me and Gary are over here judging.
You guys need to come back up sometime.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was a good experience, for sure.
It was.
Yeah, you can come back up. We have building 2 open now, too, so you can check that one out, too.
Across the road. If we come back up there, I want to see the ducks.
Well, I'll take you on a little world tour, because HQ is only about 7 minutes away. My office is like 4 minutes, so we're here.
How did you get into ducks? Like, what made you think I'm going to have a pet duck?
This is literally like the weirdest story. Annie and I both love animals, like absolutely like love, love, love them. And it was March 2024 and he sent me a reel of this little Labrador, baby Labrador puppy, golden retriever. And it had a little baby duck and they were like little best friends. You know, I think it was like AI video. Yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh, we should get Charlie, our girl bulldog. We should get Charlie a duck for Easter is what I said. Because like Charlie, we all say she's like a Disney princess dog. Like she sees a ladybug. I'm not joking. This is like, I've seen it. She'll just like go over and sniff it and play with it. She never hurts anything. Aww. She like wants to like play with it. Like, she'll see a frog and she'll paw it real gentle. Like she just loves animals and creatures. Like she's so sweet. And I said, oh, we should get her a little duck for Easter. And he hearted my writing. I was like, he didn't say no. And so then I was like, okay. And because I will bring any animal home. And then I said something before. I'm like, oh, well, because we got the first two that we had at Tractor Supply. Go, oh, Tractor Supply has ducks coming. I was like, do they? And I go, I should get Charlie one. And he still didn't say no. And this was like in person. Yeah. So finally I go, I'm going to go tomorrow and get Charlie a duck for Easter. I'm going to get some, go get it Tractor Supply. He goes, are you serious? I go, yeah. Again, he didn't say no. So I'm like, that's my pass.
Yeah.
And so I went to Tractor Supply and you had to buy two. They won't just let you buy one. So I had to buy two. So I get them and it was Duck Norris and James Pond. And you don't know the sex of ducks until they're about 7 weeks old. And so I thought they were both boys, but James was ended up being a girl. And we had them and they're just like so fun and funny. They had little personalities. We had to keep them in the house for about 9 weeks because they can't go outside because they're not like fully feathered yet to like protect themselves from the water and stuff like that. And, then the morning of Women in Business, my workshop in July of 2024, James was so friendly. She stuck her head out of the coop and a raccoon got it and got her. And I have cameras in the coops. And Andy called me that morning. He's like, hey, can you get on the cameras and see? Because he couldn't see the coop from our house. Yeah. And it was like tornadoes that morning. It was like 7 a.m. And I go, you need to go down there. Something's wrong. Well, then she died. And so then I got online and I ordered the 3 white ducks that we have now by mail from this great farm. It's called Metzler Farms. They're amazing. And, got those ducks. And then we've had ducks for about maybe 2 years in March this year. So fun. And like, we go up there. That's part of our nightly routine after dinner. Before we go to bed, we call it duck stuff. We're like, let's go do duck stuff. And we go up there and take care of the ducks and pet them and play with them. And cause I go up in the mornings and do it by myself. And then at night, Andy and I do it together. And take care of our home. All set for the night. Yeah, we built the little coop and put a little heater in there, and they got their little water and drains and all. They're all set up in there.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I only had chickens, but I would love to have ducks. I think it'd be so fun.
Chickens. Ducks are so messy. It is bizarre.
Really?
Yeah, people are like, oh, I want to get some too. I'm like, just know they are seriously so freaking messy. And like, we have their coop. We were doing it for a while, but then just got so busy with business that one of my executive assistants, her two sons, who are, I think they're 16 and 20, come over every 2 weeks and clean the coop for us, like scoop all the stuff out, new bedding put down and stuff. Cause we don't want to live in like dirty, you know, coop because they poop so much. So they come over and clean it and they like, you know, mop it all down and clean the deck on it and everything and get it real nice and clean for the ducks. So they're definitely little posh ducks. That's for sure.
Amy's one to bring home random animals. There is a, I guess it was last year that, well, you had a squirrel at one point, and then we had that photo shoot that one day, and you were like, look at what's in my pocket. And it was a baby possum.
It's like, are you wearing a fanny pack?
And
I
was
like, I have a baby possum, and I can't leave it by itself.
I'm jealous. I'm taking the thing. I was, Andy and I was teased because, like, he loves animals so much, and I do too, that, like, he knows that I know. That he knows if I bring home some random animal, it's not going to leave this property.
Yeah.
It's like, we'll just with it immediately. So like, we would be the biggest like foster fails if we ever had like did foster dogs or anything like that. We would like keep all of them.
That's why I have six dogs.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. They're so fun.
Yeah.
So many.
I would bring home just about anything. I have
Same. Except a snake. I don't like snakes.
We had a snake at one point.
They're creepy. You don't know what they're going to do next. They're quiet.
Yeah. No, I just wouldn't do spiders. I'm not going to do that.
No, I wouldn't do those either. Spiders or snakes, I'm not about.
Yeah. No, I was fine with a snake. He was fine. He was really easy.
There's been a bunch of does running around here. I'm like, let there be a baby deer in this yard come spring.
I got one off my steps in my basement. I have like my little deer farm. I have like 32 deer here on our property. And I feed them corn and mineral block and stuff. And I threw pumpkins out in the fall for them and stuff. And, one of the, you know, like it was during a really bad storm and one of the moms, like, you know, they'll like take their babies and they'll put them somewhere. And our walkout basement, she put the fawn was literally in the middle of the staircase, just laying there. And I didn't see it till I was upstairs. I was looking on the balcony. I was like, is that a deer? And I went down there and I got a towel and I scooped her up and like took her out. And I was like, I had to get video of it before I like, you know.
Oh yeah. Of course. Yeah.
Let her go. Then I just like, she was so cute. And I was like, oh, I kind of wanted her to like not have a mom so she could
come back. If you want to stay, you can.
Yeah. Like, come here. It's fine.
Yeah.
I love it. I would absolutely do that.